This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's not to, inshallah, is as I speak to you to reflect on my life so that you too can reflect on your life and do some fundamental things. As a speaker, and I've conducted workshops in 30 countries, I can tell you something. If people ask me or ask any speaker, what legacy would you like to leave behind? They would say, in different words, I pray that when I spoke, I touched someone's heart, and that individual began to reflect on his or her life, that individual embraced change, and that individual used the information, transformed himself or herself, and that information became knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand me, all of you? Yes or no? Yes. I've been a headmaster, you see, so I've been a teacher, so I know. So you understand me? Yes. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad you do. Now, psychologists have said that if you do not change within the first 48 hours after a presentation, it's unlikely you're going to change. Unlikely you're going to change. So I want you to repeat after me. I'm a very unpredictable speaker. I feel hidebound that I'm looking at my pretty face here and I'm speaking to you. I like to walk around, I like to give a moving speech, but I respect what you have in me. So I'll stay put here, don't worry. Killing me though it is, right? Right. I want to say this. I want you to repeat after me. Say, inshallah. 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 I will change in the next 48 hours. I will change in the next 48 hours. Inshallah, I will change in the next 48 hours. I want you to look at each other and do a thumbs up. Say, I'm going to change. Do that. Come on. Yes. Yeah. Right. If you're sitting on your own, you can do a thumbs up to your split personality. Right. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Right. I'm speaking to you at a time when the Ummah is bleeding. In modern history, I don't think Muslims have gone through challenges what they're going through now. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to reflect on your life. The question is, if you were to die now, may Allah give you a long, pious life, inshallah. If you were to die now, would you be missed? For what would you be missed? Who will miss you? If all the Muslims were to leave Sri Lanka today, would we be missed? That's a question. Would we be missed? There's a difference, my friend, between significance and success. I don't talk about that now, but I want you to know that. Would you be missed? So we are living in very challenging times, right? So there are many things I want to sort out at the very beginning. So I want you to understand this. How many of you love yourself? Put your hands up. You love yourself. All your hands should go up, isn't it? As a Muslim, you should love yourself. Hey? Not love yourself, look in the mirror, oh my gosh, I'm so beautiful and all that. Not that kind of love. Therefore, the dua you make, Ya Allah, you made me beautiful outside, also make me beautiful inside. So you've got to love yourself. You love yourself. You know, when people tell me, Idris, man, you don't know how happy we are to see you. I said every morning when I look at the mirror, I say the same thing. Yes, I do. I have. Right. Okay. Now I want to. There are so many stories. So many stories, really, replete with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam interaction with people, non-Muslims, with his enemies, moving stories. They are not meant for us to just study as a researcher. It's meant for us to embrace. Now, you know, when the time of oppression, the time in the early days of Makkah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq sought permission from Prophet of Allah. He said, "Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to leave Makkah." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him his wish. So as he was arranging his things and going to leave Makkah, a non-Muslim by the name of, I think, Ibn Dagani, said to him, "Where are you going?" And he explained why is he going, the reason for his going. What was his response? He said, "If people, worse to this effect, of your value, are going to leave us, what will be our condition? What would be our condition? Look at it. So I want you to stay here, and I will protect you." You know what I'm saying to you? You got to understand one fundamental thing, my beloved sisters, my beloved daughters and sisters. One fundamental thing. Man, by nature, is capable of a lot of good and also capable of doing a lot of bad things. But when he does bad things, he ought to be uncomfortable doing it. There are, in any community, a vast majority of people that are intrinsically good. They're good people. But because we have not portrayed the true Islam in a meaningful way, they misunderstand us. So they judge us not because they know us, purely because what the media says. They say whoever controls the media controls your mind. So when you walk down the street, no matter where you are, you are an ambassador for the deen of Islam. In your silence, you're an ambassador. In your speech, you're an ambassador. In your conduct, you're an ambassador. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. So I want you to understand that. Right? I want you to understand that. And the role of Muslim women is erroneously perceived by Muslims themselves. If you were to look at the history of Islam, I can go on the whole day. If you only know the contribution of Muslim women in society, unbelievable. Who was the first person to embrace Islam? Who was the first person to be martyred? Right or wrong? You know that. Who set up the first university? From Morocco, Fez, Reysenau. They contributed to science and a whole range of things. I want you to understand that. Okay. I want you to understand those initial aspects. Because I would like you, at the end of my program, to unleash your potential. Unleash your potential. That's what all of us have, is potential. You need to unleash it. You understand? You got to unleash it. It can only come through self-belief. It can only come when you look at yourself every day and ask yourself, what have I done today? What did I do today? Right? So another question I'll ask you, right? Okay? I'll ask you, right? You, who are you? This. Who are you? Sir, I can't hear you. Okay, you, who are you? Yeah, you see. Now I'm glad you did what you did, and I like it, right? I like it. I asked you, who are you? Listen very, very carefully to me, please. Very, very carefully to me. I asked, who are you? I never asked you, what's your name? When you ask sisters, who are you, or men also, They give the name. Oh, my name is Fatima. I said, oh. I said, I didn't ask you your name. Who are you? I'm a female. I didn't ask you what's your gender. Who are you? I'm a doctor. I didn't ask you what's your profession. Who are you? I'm Mrs. So-and-so. I didn't ask you if you're married. The best answer I got, I'm nothing but a humble servant of Allah. Now, every day, you put when you got that in your bedroom wall, I'm nothing but a humble servant of Allah. And you're going to ask yourself every day, did I fulfill that vision, that mission? Have I done that every day? In my thoughts, in my interaction, in my salah, in my interaction with non-Muslims, was I a humble servant of Allah? That's what you are. You understand? You understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. You know, whenever I go, alhamdulillah, you know the notion we've got, you know, really, when you become Muslim, you look constipated. Really, the notion, you look constipated, you know, alhamdulillah, like also, you carry a tasbih, you don't smile. That's not Islam. That's not Islam, right? Muslims are optimistic people, remember that. Muslims are optimists. They believe in Allah's mercy. They believe in it. So, I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that every day, I would like you to live consciously and with intentionality. Consciously and with intentionality. So that people will go back and they say, you know what? You know, people, I say this in the paper, they say Muslim women are oppressed. They're not oppressed. I see how our neighbors, how they work. I see how the husband treats the wife. I see what she does. You know what I mean? Right? No matter what the media says. But sometimes we perpetuate that stereotypical response. That's what we do. You understand? Right? You understand? Does it make sense? Are you understanding what I'm saying so far? You do? Right, okay. Now, the next important thing is this. Very, very important. And I want you to understand this. If you look at your life, inverted commas, in Islam there's no such thing as minority. You know, I know why people say minority. One person who believes in Allah, follow the example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are 3 billion people around him, he's the majority. Remember that. We don't look at numbers. Eh? Even the battle of Badr is an indication. It's your faith, your taqwa. Yes or no? Right? Don't say, oh, we know we're a small group of people. You're not a small group of people. A small group with taqwa is far greater than the rest of the population. Remember that. Right? So what I want you to understand is this. Very, very important. Right? There are a few practical things that we need to do, right? And you saw, for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the way he interacted with the captives of war, right? Did he not feed them? Did he not clothe them? Yes or no? He did that. What? He had a chance of seeking Allah's, right? The revenge, isn't it? In Taif, what did he do? He did not, isn't it? So I look at all of those things. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said words to the effect, forgive those who hurt you and do good to those who harm you. Agreed? That's how it is. Right? That's how it is. Right? So I want to just ask you another question very quickly. Right? Very, very quickly. Right? You have a neighbor. Right? All of you have neighbors? Right? Unless you're staying in the desert somewhere. Your neighbor may be a few thousand kilometers away. All of you have neighbors. Right? How many of you have Muslim neighbors? Put your hands up. Okay. How many of you have non-Muslim neighbors? Okay. Looks like the same number of people. Muslim. Okay. Right. Now, the question is this. Your neighbor, for some reason, stops talking to you. Let's look at a practical level. And what Nabi Islam would have done. Practical level. She stops talking to you. Right? Okay? But you'll pass each other every day. She passes your home. You got to pass the home. And every day and you greet her. You know? Okay? I don't know how, however you greet her. And she does this. What she does? Right? She does that. Every day. Right? Now, how many of you, how would you react? I want to know from you. How would you react in that situation? You'll smile at her, okay? Right? So, no, you greet her, she does this, and you just smile. Right? She does it every day. You'll keep on smiling. Okay, she'll keep on smiling, okay? Right? Who else? I'd like to know. Please, I want you to participate. Right? Hazrat Umar said, worse to the effect, 50% of knowledge comes from good questions, isn't it? Yes or no? You've got to ask questions. We Muslims are not passive receptacles of knowledge. Not a jug you're pouring in knowledge. Hey, we ask, we question. One person won the Nobel Prize for physics or something. They asked him, to what do you attribute your success? He says, well, most mothers will tell the children, what did you learn today, my baby? He said, but my mother used to ask me, what good question did I ask today? That I made sure I asked good question. He created in me a spirit of inquiry and research. You got to ask questions, right? So how would you react there? You get some gifts. I want to be your neighbor then. Stop talking, I'll get gifts, right? Okay, gifts, okay? Anyone else, yes? Sorry? Try to speak to her. Find out. And she just does this when you speak to her. How many of you will stop talking to her? Put your hands up. You will stop. Right? How many of you, really, these are real things, right? Okay, I'll tell you why I'm telling you this. Well, I had a neighbor. And where I stay, we stay, alhamdulillah, at an apartment in Durban. You heard of Durban? Yes, beautiful place. Durban, I like it. And you either pass by car or you walk, right? And my neighbor and his wife, they stopped talking to me, you know? So what I used to do, right? And my wife used to get very upset with me, and I love my wife, darling, I love you, my darling, right? So when I used to greet, I used to put the window down of the car and greet him and her, and my wife would pinch me, you know? Pinch me. She'd tell me, I don't know what's wrong with you. They're not talking to you. I don't know what's wrong with you. I said to her, darling, they're not talking to me, I know, but I'm talking to them. Right? Because you must not allow other people to affect you. Hey? Remember that. You must continue to do that is good. It's very important. So coming back, I can go on another story. Okay, I'll tell you another story very quickly. There was one person who used to greet the shopkeeper every day and buy the newspaper. He said, good morning, sir. May I have the newspaper, please? Thank you. So his friend accompanied him about 3 or 4 days. And he said to him, you know what? Really, you're mad, man. He said, what do you mean? He said, I've been here with you about 2 or 3 days. And every time you greet them with so much of love and affection, he doesn't greet you back. He said, what he said? Look at the answer. This was a turning point for me. He said, well, he must not tell me how I should behave towards him. Right? Now, so living in this country, right? These are my suggestions, right? There were some abiding principles in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interact. Look at any of the incidents, right? Right? And these are the abiding principles. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always had a higher goal. A higher goal. Yes or no? What he wanted in the end? Inshallah, perhaps they'd be drawn towards the deen of Islam. Yes or no? Remember once when there was a janaza of a Jew went past, and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed some emotion, and they were surprised. Right? So what I'm saying to you, always a higher goal. It was never vanity or ego ever came to play in his relationship. There was never a tit for tat. He was forgiving. Even when he had a chance to be vengeful, when they conquered Makkah, remember on the return, he could have been so, right? Even when his daughter was fatally wounded, Right? Did he seek revenge? No. Right? Okay. Even Khalid bin Walid was one of the enemies of Islam before he became a Muslim. But look at his response. So he had a higher goal. He was forgiving. He was compassionate. He always remembered what his purpose is. Okay. When he came to justice, even between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, if the non-Muslim was right, he made sure he meted out that justice. There are so many examples. Agree? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let's look at different levels, right? If you look at his interactions with his wives, what kind of interaction was it? Was our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam a romantic husband or not? Make dua, I'm writing a book. It's called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the romantic prophet. Make dua for me. You make dua for me. The other book I'm writing also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the creative prophet. Make dua for me. Right? So what was his relationship? Cheerful. Were his spouses happy when he used to come home? Right? They were happy. Okay. What else you know about him at home? He helped. He stopped when he heard the call of Azan. Yes or no? What else you know about him? Sorry? Yes, tahajjud. Yes, what else? Right, there are so many examples, right? And the way they loved him. Did he have nicknames for them? Yes. What did he call Bibi Aisha? Right? But what was one code or metaphor they understood? The knot. You know about the knot? Right? So this was there, romantic. We today as husbands are not romantic, are they? Yes or no? Are they? How many of you are married? Alhamdulillah. Right. How many of you are happily married again? Same number of hands. Okay, don't bluff, right? I know, right? Right. Okay. So our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very romantic. And he understood, right? Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his interaction, he always saw things from their perspective. Agreed? Right? Right. He knew when Bibi Aisha was upset with him, right? You know that, right? So we know this story. And what was his relationship with his children? With Bibi Fatima Zahra. What was his relationship with her? Loving, right? It was a beautiful relationship. An emotional relationship. Emotional relationship. You must read his relationship with Fatima Zahra. Yes, you read that. I always break down. She went through a lot, yes? A condition. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always remind her? What did he remind her about the year after? He always reminded her. So his relationship with his children, with all of them, was caring and loving. Right? Okay? Right? But more importantly, he always reminded them about the year after. Okay. Right. Next thing. What was his relationship with his grandchildren? Kindness, compassion, even during salah, isn't it? Yes or no? Yes. Right. Beautiful relationship he had with them. You know that one example? When the Bedouin saw him kissing his grandson, I think it was, and he said, I have 10 children, I have not kissed any one of them. So there are two variations. The one variation is, it is not my fault if Allah remove mercy from your heart, isn't it? The other one is, if you do not show mercy, Allah will not show you mercy. Right? And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interacted with children, what did he do? He was on his fours, yes or no? Did he stand up and speak to them? No, on his fours. Look at that. He made eye contact with them. Okay. Okay. Right. So, what was his relationship with the Sahaba, say Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Osman Ghani, Hazrat Ali, what was the relationship with them? He loved them, yes or no? What was their relationship with him? Utter devotion, okay? Now, a very, very important thing. If you were to look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, completely, right, his spouses could never say, you should have spent more time with us. He was perfect in his timing. His friends, his sahaba, close ones, could not say anything negative about the time he spent with us. Strangers who came to see him, they could not even complain. And not only that, we as a ummah are ample testimony for the commitment, devotion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some years ago, I went to China for a holiday. And I went to a masjid there that was, and that masjid I think was built only 200 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. I looked at it and I cried. I said, Ya Allah, your Prophet has done his vision, fulfilled his mission. But what about us? What about me? Okay. So then let's quickly look at, very quickly, right? What was his relationship with people, rulers of other countries? What was his relationship? What did he do? Letters. And what was the letter? He invited them to Islam. Right? And remember, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very strategic. Very, very strategic, very, very important. Right? Similarly, here it's important for you to interact. Who are the community leaders in the Sri Lankan community? Who are they? Who are the sisters involved? Right? And remember this, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came as a mercy unto all creation. Right? All humankind and creation. Yes or no? Yes. Now remember this. Very, very important. So we as Muslims must not be seen to be insular, isolationists. We must not be seen that. We mustn't be seen like living in a ghetto. So you must not only support causes that affect us directly, you must support even humanitarian causes. Get involved with the environment issues. Get involved there. Right? We must use the media to good effect, making sure the right kind of people represent us, who are articulate and who have wisdom. Very important. Right? We got to galvanize ourselves. We got to have a united front, as it were. Right? We got to have a united front. He said, okay, you understand what I'm saying to you? Right? Now, the bottom line, right, and this is going to be a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Right? How would you score the Muslim community here out of 10? I don't ask you about you. Out of 10, that we are doing enough to build bridges here with other members of other faiths. We're doing enough to build bridges. You say, right, okay. Right, okay. Sister says 7 here, right? Right? 3. Oh, yeah, okay. 3, 4. Right? That's not good. That's not good at all. It's not good at all. Right? Now, the question is this, and I want to, I like mine to leave some practical things, right? I want to just share with you something very quickly, right? Just for your information, right? Right? To let you know. How many minutes I have? Eh? Half an hour. For the including question time also. Excluding question time. Okay. Right. Now, you're going to ask questions. Right. Alhamdulillah, just give you a little background. Alhamdulillah, I've written 2 books on public speaking, right? The one is called The Dynamics of Public Speech from an Islamic Perspective. The other one, which I did not bring, The Joys of Public Speaking. So my friend and I had a meeting with the Department of Basic Education in South Africa, right? Because I'm also very concerned, and alhamdulillah, the South African Muslims are amongst the most blessed Muslims in the world. Please believe me. If you come to South Africa, if you see the institutions, you've got a government that is very sympathetic to Islam, sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. Alhamdulillah. And there were many Muslims that were martyred in the earlier days. So I was a bit concerned about what's happening now. You understand that we are seen as being isolationists, right? So we had a meeting with the Department of Basic Education, and alhamdulillah, we've got a memorandum of agreement for the next 5 years, my friend and I, to deliver public speaking to 6,000 schools. How many schools? 6,000 schools. And we said to them, at no cost, we'll give the senior pupils a copy of the book, and we're getting Muslim business people to sponsor it. And we'll get them on that day to take a photograph with their logos. The whole idea, I also want them to get mileage out of it and to understand that. Right? Now, I had one example. I went to a school in the countryside there, to an indigenous school there, and I asked the headmistress after my presentation, look what she said. I asked her, what are your needs in the school? She told me, I want sanitary towels for my girls. Can you believe it? How poor they are. So I arranged for all that. I arranged a uniform for them, and alhamdulillah, they're so excited. Right? So we are trying. And what I'm also doing, and we started going from town to town, reminding Muslims of what the purpose is. Reminding them to get engaged with the community. That you are an ambassador with your employees, if you got an ambassador. When you are sitting in the bus, in the train, wherever it is, there are people on either side of you. Already have a negative image about you. You can either reinforce it or you could change it. You could change it. You understand? Yeah, smile, you're looking very depressed from here. Smile, yes. Okay? You can either change it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Right? So my question, basically, right, let's look at practical things. Practical things. You got to ask yourself, basically, what would Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have, what would he have done in a community like this? What do you think? Would he have met with the leaders of the other faiths? Yes or no?
Yes.
Right. He would have. So what I want you to do is this. I'm giving you people 7 minutes, right? You can get into groups of three. Just three, right? Right? And write down what 10 things we can do, y'all can do as a community to change the negative perceptions. Yes, you know what? There are some people, no matter what you do, I'm talking about generally speaking, they will despise you. It's okay. And remember that Allah tests those that He loves. Right? You must understand that Allah's will prevail. Nothing happens except the will of Allah. And a Muslim never has a victim mentality. He never says, why me? Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said, why me? Even in Taif, he said, when he turned to Allah, he said, what did he do? He said, maybe there's something about me that I need to change. You understand I'm saying this to you? And he was a person, also had a lot of emotion. Hey? That poignant scene when he was burying his son Ibrahim alayhi salam. That poignant scene. He cried, as a father would. Right. So let's look at practical things. And it's very, very important that I would like you, as a community, as a school, as an institution, to do things. Right? You understand? So I'm giving you 7 minutes, please, right? No one dominate, right? Right? Give everyone a chance.
Thank you.
Right, okay. Jazakumullah. Right. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I want to remind you, as I did at the beginning, that this whole exercise will be an exercise in futility if you go back not reflecting on who you are. You understand? Because you could meet Allah now. And you will be asked, there was a crisis in your community, what have you done? All of us will be asked, within our capacity. Right? There is no such thing that I wish I was a leader, I could do something. Each one of you is a shepherd. Each one of you. Right? Each one of you. You don't have to have a title to be a leader. Some of the people who made the biggest contributions were not given any titles. They went through their own challenges. So your concern, whatever affects one part of the ummah, if you hurt your ankle, affects the rest. Were you affected? How were you affected? Right? So it's important. Very, very critical. Right? Very, very critical. I want you to understand that. This being passive and being a spectator is not the way of Islam. You got to do something, inshallah. I pray that you do it, inshallah. Okay, tell me what can be done. Come on, who would, anyone? What else? Right. You all were involved with some activity now, right? Right, I just thought in case. You know, at my age I can forget, you know. I'm 37 years old now. I know I look 40. It happens. Right? Okay. Anyone, please? Don't go outside. I said, you know, I want to say this. You didn't, I didn't know. I don't know. You know, I'm no angel. Yes, sister. To share food, right? It melts your heart, isn't it? Right, okay. Fattens you and melts your heart, right? Right.
And through all phases of prayer, especially the women outside there, the non-Muslims, they don't know what is inside the masjid. They question so many times what is there, because we don't pray to any statue or anything. They don't know what is inside it. And it's possible to bring them and to tell how we pray and what we recite. There are some who are interested to know what we really do.
Okay, I'll just make a point here, right? It's not enough to know how we pray. It is also important to know why we pray. We Muslims ourselves do not even know these things. Why we pray. Right? Because they'll ask you that. Why do you pray? Right? Okay, continue.
And the basic act is to smile with them, which is a sunnah.
Yes. Okay, right, orphans, yes.
And invite them to our functions, if possible.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Okay.
To volunteer? Yeah,
okay, to volunteer at the gatherings, yeah?
And charitable organizations.
Yeah. Soup kitchen, okay. Invite them for iftar.
Or eat and send food to neighbors.
Food to neighbors.
Be conscious of who you are and how you project Islam.
Be conscious of who you are and how you project Islam.
Help them work with community organizations and work with the environment. Be kind, smiling, polite, give way in traffic.
Yes.
Give change to drivers and transports because they're often used by us.
Yes, the drivers, whoever. Engage with them. Okay, what else? What else? Come on. What about the rest?
Social media.
And also how you react to situations is important. Because remember this, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very compassionate, was he not? Okay? Even to those who mocked the deen of Islam. You know the incident when these few pagans were mocking Bilal, the racist attitude when he was giving the call of Azan. And then one of them, Abu Madura, went up and he was raised. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who is that person? And he summoned for him. And that person expected to be persecuted and punished. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized he had a beautiful voice. He taught him how to lead make the call for prayer. That person embraced Islam and was also a little later the Muazzin in Makkah. Look at it. Yes or no? Right? Look at it. Look at his reaction. Right? So what I'm saying to you is that when you remember everything beautiful comes from the deen of Islam, anything ugly comes from you. Remember that. Anything. Islam is beautiful. The conduct is beautiful. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was beautiful. Yes or no?
Yes.
Beautiful in all aspects of his life. Anything ugly comes from you and shaitan. Khalas. That's the bottom line. There is no place to be vindictive and spiteful. And when you engage with non-Muslims, you are non-judgmental. Non-judgmental. What else can be done? Social media is a very powerful instrument, right? Because social media, one negative message could really incite people. Or a good message, inshallah, can galvanize people to do the right things. Is what else? Come on. Sorry? Yeah. What they've got in the UK.
Reward a non-Muslim day.
Yes, reward a non-Muslim. Correct. What else? So what is important is this, right? I would recommend amongst these things, even if through your husbands or whatever, if they are female politicians, invite them. Invite them to your institution like Al-Huda. Invite them. Give them whatever, samosas and whatnot, right? They'll like it. Right, and just invite them, right? And remember this, we are living at a time where your focus should be not so much on conversion, but on convergence. In other words, see how you can, there are some commonalities that you could share. And inshallah, that will bring people to the fold of Islam. At least, remember this. Remember the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The king of Abyssinia was very sympathetic to Muslims. Was he not? He was very sympathetic. And he gave people a safe passage. Even Hazrat Umar went right or wrong with Ruqayya. May Allah be pleased with them. So what I'm saying to you, it's very important for you to understand that. Think about it. Because the need of the hour, this is the need of the hour. The need of the hour is to prevent any future conflicts. The situation is quite volatile here, yes or no? It's volatile, right? It's very, very important. The way we got to also use the opportunity to educate our mothers, our fathers, from the masajids, to send the message, right? And remember, for a Muslim, there is no discrepancy between his smile and what is in his heart. In other words, this is important. But what else? Come on. What else is important?
Get involved in public programs.
Get involved in public programs, yes.
And to portray ourselves in the media as being
involved. Yeah, portray yourself as being involved. Also, to clear misconceptions about Islam. Right? For many non-Muslims, Sharia means cutting off your hands. That's all. They don't understand what Sharia is. Right? And maybe preparing a booklet. I'm sure you have that. About what Islam is all about. What else? Come on. Please, I want you to... Your minds must get engaged with this. It must become an ongoing discussion. What you need to do. Sorry? Very important. Very, very important that we should remind ourselves that every Muslim, you are an ambassador for Islam. It requires one idiot to do something stupid that can impact on the rest of the Ummah. Agreed? All of us are ambassadors for the Deen of Islam. Right? And we are living here in this country. Right? There has to be loyalty to the country, yes or no? Right? Loyalty to the country. You got to contribute to it. Be benefiting from it. You got to contribute to it. Contribution does not mean that you become less of a Muslim. You become more of a better Muslim. Okay, what else? Come on, please. What about the others? Sorry? Yes. Yeah, that's a big problem, isn't it? Agreed. The excesses, The excesses, our extravagance. In fact, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reminds you even as a neighbor. Remember this. When you become excessive and extravagant, what are you doing? You're hurting the other person's feelings. Agreed?
Yes.
You're hurting the other person's feelings. Right? Okay, very good. What else? Come on.
Don't show off.
Right. Okay, right. Yeah. Come on, please. Sorry? Sorry, I can't hear you. Yes. Yeah, treat your non-Muslim employees, right? For example, they have the celebrations also, right? Don't say, okay, fine, I'll give you leave without pay. Stuff like that, right? Okay, what else?
In the process,
absolutely. There's no place for compromise. Right? There is a big difference. Was our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lenient or not?
Yes.
He was lenient, right? Okay. Remember this. We are more hopeful for Allah's mercy than His wrath, yes or no?
Yes.
Even Allah reminded us, if we do not commit sins, then He'll get in some other group, isn't it? Because He loved those that turned to Him after you committed sins. Allah is forgiving, right? I mean, there are many, many examples, right? I'll give you a few more examples. I can go on the whole day. Well, I'll give you a few more examples, right? How many of you know about that incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with the Sahaba and someone brought for him, gave him a bunch of grapes? How many of you know that incident? Right. Could you narrate it for the rest, please? Who wants to do it? Try. Sorry? Yeah. Was it an old lady or maybe an old lady? Okay, fine. Yeah. Look at that. Just look at it. The person brings a bunch of grapes. His habit was, he'll take first and he share it with the Sahaba. On that day, he never did. He finished it, and the person who gave him was satisfied, very, very happy, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And when he went, they asked him, then he said words to this effect, that if I had given you the grape, you might have shown some displeasure, and that would have hurt that person. Look at his sensitivity. Right? Look at the sensitivity. Right? And Islam, remember, is not about how much you know, but how much you show. How much you show. And when you understand that, inshallah, it will make a huge difference in your life. Right? Okay. What are the other things that can be done? What about going to school? Yes, sister, the back. Yeah, correct. Yes, correct. Obeying the law of the country. Agreed. Now, what about for example, saying that, you know what, maybe on a volunteering, going to schools, giving them support, saying that we are prepared to read to the children books to promote reading. We as a Muslim community, we want to support the government's initiative, for example, to promote literacy. So many things can be done. Many, many things in your locality. It must go like a wildfire. People need to understand. And remember that as much as they say what your one hand does, other hand should not know. But if it is meant to, if it's meant to inspire, if it's meant to change attitude, you must do it that way. Show it. No harm in showing it. Because the intention is not to show off, but rather to show what we Muslims can do and capable of doing. You understand? Right? So these are fundamental things. I want you to understand that, right? So all in all, when you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? You look at it, right? Let me just give you some broad principles, right? I said that he was forgiving. He was very, very sensitive. He was concerned about the higher goal, right? All the time, he understood what his purpose was. And throughout his interaction with people, he never forgot his vision, right? And what does the Quran say about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Sent as a mercy. And also recognize the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was gentle with the people, not harsh. The Quran also recognizes that, isn't it? Right. What else you know about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He showed no favors. In other words, he treated people with equality. What else you know about him? What else? And remember, for example, even when he came to the captives, for example, there were some captives, he looked at their background, depending on how much they could afford to get a release, he gave them. Right? If they could not afford it, he changed it. Even still, further still, some of them, he said, fine, you teach 10 children, and I will release you. Look at it. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very creative. Very, very creative in his relationship with people. Right? He had adl, a sense of justice. What else? What else? What kind of life he chose? Poverty above affluence. He was more self-effacing rather than being in the forefront. He loved the poor people. What else? Never complain, yes. Yes, very important. He said, I'll be with them like this, isn't it? And when anyone came, this is a very important part of his interaction. When anyone came to him for help, if he could not help them, he pointed them the way. He would tell them, go to so-and-so person, tell them, I sent you. No one left empty-handed. And he also showed appreciation. He recognized goodness. For example, he said he liked the attitude of Hazrat Osman, for example. And he was like him in appearance also. What else? Did he ever complain about donor fatigue? Did any one of them? No, they never complained. Right? So, I'll take some questions now, right? So in conclusion, in conclusion, what I want to say is this, that we must move away from our personal self and realize that we've been sent here for a purpose. A purpose. Inshallah. Right? Allah guide you, make it easy for you. We take questions. Oh, contribution. Did you find it useful what I said? You did? Alhamdulillah. How many of you are coming for my program tomorrow? Please come. You'll really, really enjoy it. I'll just give you a brief synopsis. And it's a two-day program where I discuss the leadership of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I discuss things like self-esteem, emotional intelligence, practical things. I even show you an hour or two, the art of public speaking, and we look at the last sermon of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? We promote the idea of reading. We look at his qualities. Really, I'm not saying it because I'm doing it, right? That's one of the reasons, actually. Yes, right. But the fact that I know is very, very practical. I did this program, just give an idea. I did this program the weekend before this in Toronto. I came back on Toronto on Tuesday. Then Wednesday I went to Tanzania. I came back on Tuesday and I'm here today, right? Okay, then I'm going to Maputo, right? Please, I mean this. You are really going to enjoy. My programs are very, very practical. You understand? Yes or no? Yes. They're practical, right? And you really find it, inshallah, great. Okay? So I would like you to come. And this is a point I want to make, see? The point that I want to make to each one of you is the following. If people ask me, what is the biggest issue impacting on the Ummah? What do you think is the biggest issue, you think? Why are we in our situation where we are? Why? Sorry? There's one. Yes? Yes, we need to look at ourselves. For me, the biggest issue, you know the biggest issue? It is not fortuitous or by chance that the first ayah to be revealed is Iqra. How many of us read? Read. How many of you are avid readers? No. Yes, maybe Al-Huda is special, avid readers and all, right? But I'll tell you this, right? You find that we have forfeited the habit of reading. And my turning point has been, I got a humble collection of 3,500 books at home. Very humble. My tipping point for me was when I began to read. Right? Now, we're not prepared to invest in our own education. We're not prepared to invest on our own personal empowerment. Right? And if you say, Ya Allah, I want to read, so I become an eloquent ambassador for the deen of Islam. So every time you read, it will be like what? What would it be like for you? Would it be wonderful? Yes or no? You are going to grow. Right? So I'm asking you again. I mean this because I know the value. Right? How many of you, inshallah, will now want to come tomorrow, inshallah? Put your hands up. You're not going to come first, right? Now, how many of you are going to come? You're going to come? Inshallah. Please, I mean this. Eh? I mean it. You've got to be a parasite on new knowledge. I was in Canada and I bought about 6 to 8 books. I must go to a bookshop. I want to grow. I want to learn. Open my mind. Please. You've got to grow. You've got to open your mind. And I assure you, inshallah, after that program, you become, your self-esteem will be enhanced, your emotional quotient, you'll be inspired to do great things. And one of the things, the highlight of my program is, the last hour and a half or two, I spend in helping you by 6-step approach, developing your personal vision and mission. It's very, very practical. You understand? Right? So please, right? Now, and I'm saying this to you, right? If, again, I'm asking you, right? I'd like to see every hand up here. You don't mind me, right? Right? If you don't like what I'm doing, I like it, right? Right? How many of you, inshallah, are going to come for the program? Oh, don't be shy. Right? Inshallah, I mean this. There is no excuse. A Muslim never makes excuses. Okay, inshallah, look forward to seeing you, right? Question time. Is your book on public speaking with Islam? It's available for sale. And inshallah, this is going to be sold at the workshop. Right? It's available for sale, right? And I also, which I did not bring, I even have a workbook on this. I also have 4 CDs with aspects of it, and even a DVD where I show you practically about each of the skills, right? Next question. Okay, anyone? No, no, you don't ask questions. Okay, bring it in. Okay, you can bring it in. Bring that in. Okay, right, okay, I heard your question, right? Right. The question is, what is my view on interfaith dialogue and what can the institution do? I feel very, very strongly that we need to do that. Remember that. When people are true to the original faiths, if they're true to it, then we will be living in a far more harmonious society. Right? There are many friends of mine in the UK who are involved with interfaith dialogue, even in South Africa. It's a good thing to do. You understand? Right? So I would encourage it. I would encourage, for example, if there are other schools like Christian schools and other schools in the community, to invite them on a visit here. Right? I'll even do this, what I did in South Africa. For example, right? How many girls' schools are there in this country, in Colombo? Quite a few is what, 10? 100? 98? 20. So invite one teacher and 2 students from there. Right? One teacher and 2 students. Look at this. I did this in South Africa for one of the schools. Invite them here. Let it become an initiative by the students. Right? Then you show them something about Islam. But then your aim is to commit each of the schools that join together for one activity they do want to do to uplift the community. Right? Now, it doesn't mean we are Muslim in every... No, far from it. In that way, you can say it's an initiative of Al-Huda. How is it? It's a good idea? I think it's a brilliant idea. Say it's brilliant. Oh, it's so nice. Right? So you should do that, right? Any other question? Come on. Please ask questions. You must ask questions. You can't be passive. There's something going on in the brain. Yeah? Activity is taking place. Something happening, right? Okay. Come on. Right. Most of the times, language becomes a barrier to reach the people of other communities. Learning and speaking in that common language here in Sri Lanka, right, can build bridges with it. Yes, you should make it compulsory. You know what we did? I was the headmaster of a school, Al-Falah. You must go to the website, Al-Falah School in South Africa. It's the best school in South Africa. Right. I was the director of the school also, right? When I was a headmaster, I made sure we learned the indigenous language of the community, Zulu. Very important. And if I would recommend Al-Huda has that language in the school, in this, introduce that language here. Do you think this is a good idea? Yes or no? I'm not saying you don't do it, right? Okay, right, so I would recommend that, right? Okay. Okay, usually a Muslim greets another Muslim with salams while ignoring the person next to who is from another faith. How do you... Yes, you must greet people. It is normal to greet. You know what? How many of you have been to London? Put your hands up. You've been to London? You're sat in the tube there. Hey, they all... In the tube, no one smiles at you. They smile at you. They all look very sad, you know? And they look at you straight in the eye. You can't smile at them. They look at you. You're smiling at you. You got there. So, I'm a gregarious social animal from South Africa. One day I went there, I was my friend. I walked into the tube, the thousands of people sitting there. I said, good morning, everybody. Hey, they got a shock of their life, really. They nearly died, right? And so when I was, so one chap said, hey, brother, I like what you did. Few stops later, I said, okay, I'm leaving. Have a good day. I said, no, have a good life. So one lady followed me. right? From South Africa. I didn't know South Africa. She said, you must be from South Africa. I said, yes, I am, right? Right. You've got to greet. You've got to greet. You must greet. You must greet. Say, hello, how are you? You don't have to have a lengthy conversation now. Right? Hello, how are you? My name is Solas. What do you do? Ta-da-ta-ta. Finish. Have that. Be. They don't say we are stuck-up people. We talk. You got to talk. Right? Okay, anyone else? Come on. Come on, I'm very disappointed in Al-Huda. They don't ask questions. No good. Okay. No, you know, you are right. You are right. But let me tell you something. Remember this. There is a story which you might have heard of. Right? There was this one person was walking down the seashore. He noticed at a distance someone throwing something back into the sea. So he went there to the person. And he says to him, young boy, what are you doing, my boy? He says, I'm just throwing the seashells, starfish rather, back into the sea because they will not survive on the shore. But he says, there are thousands of starfish. How can you impact? So he bent down, he threw one into the sea. He says, see, I made a difference to that starfish. Each one, do what's under your control. Right? Do whatever is under your control. Remember this, right? You can do it. Each one, you know, making a difference, okay? Right, anyone else? Come on, come on, no good. Anyone else? Oh yeah, and also, by the way, I've also got four CD sets here. This four CD set here is on personal empowerment, right? I've got two types. This is one type. This is another one on personal empowerment. Then I've got here premarital conversations, right? Okay? Right? Premarital conversations. Then I've got here dynamics of marriage, four sets, educating children for the 21st century, parenting, and also a DVD on public speaking. Hmm? They look quite nice, isn't it? Hey, beautiful, right? Hey, you like it? Hey. Sonia, you like this one? Hey? This one? How? Hey. Right, so anyway, right? Come on. Anyway, I want to say, and I'm not yet finished, it's a real joy. And I have a special place in my heart for sisters. Because many sisters have an erroneous perception what their role is. Right. They need to extricate themselves from that mindset and say, who was the greatest scholar in Islam? Bibi Aisha. Remember that. You understand? She was the one that affirmed the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam many ways. Yeah, I read that. Okay. Right. Someone said here that my mind is empty. I'm so sad about. Please need an advice from you. Now, I'm going to just share with you. I'm going to just share with you. You know, this is a point. Whenever you look at any person who is enjoying any kind of success, no matter how you perceive that success to be, no matter how you perceive, you assume they had it easy. Yes or no? You make assumption. But once you engage with that individual, you realize, my gosh, I had no idea you're going through those challenges. Like many people think that I always was this confident person. You know, yes, I was always handsome, there's no doubt. I was born like that, right? But was I always this confident individual? I wasn't. So there were many turning points, you see. Remember in life, no one can fight your demons except yourself. You know exactly who you are when you go to sleep. Whether you're a hero or you're zero. Right? Now, if your mind is empty, it's quite clear that you're not living consciously in the intentionality. You've got to have personal goals, short-term and long-term goals. Every day must include, for example, reading. The Quran, of course, the Seerah, and also other reading. Secondly, you've got to make sure that you fulfill your Islamic obligations. Thirdly, must have 5 or 6 good friends, because psychologists have said revealing is healing. When you share something, you feel better, right? Next thing, right? Make sure you have no one that is toxic around you. Some people, you meet them, you feel heavy on your chest, right? The next important thing, always pursue excellence. Unrelenting, pursue excellence, right? Next thing, find a mentor. Next thing, whatever is affecting you, speak about it. Right? Next thing, have self-belief. And last but not least, try to visualize or understand what your purpose is. Then your mind is not going to be empty. Am I right? Is that practical enough? Inshallah. Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions? Again, I'm asking you, sorry. Right. How many of you, I may not come back to Sri Lanka. You like me to come back? Eh? Okay. Right. How many of you don't go for workshops? You've never been for a 2-day workshop in your life. All of you been? You've been? And just give you a background about me. Alhamdulillah, amongst the many things I do counseling, which I don't charge. I'm involved with radio programs in South Africa, 4 or 5 radio programs. I help people. I do business training, write books, got my own blog. And I love you for the sake of Allah, you know. I want you to be happy doing the right things. Your happiness does not come from earthly pleasure, but it comes from the fact that you are pleasing Allah. It gives you joy, gives you sakina, gives you comfort. Very important. Very, very critical. Right? So therefore, I say to you, even if you come there and pick up an idea or two that changes you, it will help you. Right? Sorry, someone had their hands up. Yes? Okay, the challenge at the moment is sadly divorces have become very rife. It's becoming unbelievable. Therefore, I wrote this book, Premarital Conversations and Beyond, you know, to give practical advice after you marry, and also about before you marry, the kind of questions you need to ask. I find that young people today are very impatient. They have suffered from emotional deprivation. They lack self-esteem. They lack they have a low EQ, emotional quotient. They have unreasonable expectations of marriage. The men and women do not understand each other. You've got to understand. You see, a man on average speaks 12,500 words a day. A woman, 25,000 words a day. You understand those differences. So there are many things. There are many challenges impacting on people, right? Okay, so, right, is that for me? Okay, so there are many challenges, but you know what? This is part of life. Life is not meant to be easy. You'll be challenged, inshallah, right? Okay, right. As a young adult, I thought you were talking about me. As a young adult, how can we positively bring a change to the people around us? Firstly, remember this. If you love yourself, you will change. Change is the only permanent thing in life, right? So, if you want to effect change in others, you yourself must change. You cannot change anyone except yourself. But you must be such an inspiration that others want to become like you. You understand? Very important. So once you do that, it makes a difference. Now, how can you positively impact on people around you? You can positively impact when you understand that we should not treat people with equality but with equity. The needs of every person is different. So you respond to their need, understand where they are coming from, and give them the six A's, I say. Give them attention, accept them, appreciate them, affirm them, give them positive attributes, and give them affection. Right? How many A's there?
Six.
Okay. Right? So that's. Can you please share with us how we can maintain the feeling of self-belief as you mentioned early on? Right? Okay. For a lengthy discussion on this, come this weekend for a dynamic presentation by Idris Khamisa, who shares with you what is self-esteem, how to develop your own self-esteem, and you'll move from low self-esteem to high self-esteem. There is an erroneous perception that when you cannot have too much of self-esteem. What's the difference? When it does not mean we've got a high self-esteem, you're perfect. In fact, people with the highest self-esteem are humble people. They have strengths and areas for development. Come tomorrow, before it is too late. Okay. I tried. Okay. Everything keeps going right. Toyota. Okay. Right. So, you are going to be challenged sometimes, right? You're going to be challenged. And the idea to maintain the self-esteem basically is loving yourself, recognizing that you are a unique creation of Allah. The other person is not better than you, but is different from you. Understand? You maintain it by reading, by turning to Allah, and most importantly, realizing that if you go through a challenge, it is not the end in the road, but the bend in the road. Remember also, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. I want to change, but I do not know where to start. Right. Okay. I want to change, I don't know where to start. I would recommend the following. I want you to write down what you need to change about yourself. Sometimes you may not understand, that you may have 4 or 5 points, but they all might be related to 1 point there. Really? So what do you do? Let's look at what you can do immediately. You have a long-term and a short-term plan, right? Or go to people where you see the change and tell them this is what you like to do. Firstly, to change your life, the only way to change your life is to change your routine. That's it. To do a lifestyle audit, isn't it? To change your routine. Okay. Right. Now, I want to ask you something, right? I want to ask you something. Could I ask you something? Right? If there are, say, 400 birds, how many birds? 400 birds, right? Okay, 400 birds. And I say, why are these birds captured here in captivity, you know? So I say, why don't you open the windows? I don't like to see the birds here. And 4 birds, how many birds? 4 birds decide to fly. How many birds decide to fly?
4.
How many birds are left?
300
and? Wrong. Still 400 birds. You know why? I'm lucky I got you. You know why? Because I said they decided to fly. I never said they flew. Yeah. You know why I'm saying that? We sometimes make decisions we want to change. Make decisions. you write it down. A decision is still remains right in the vortex of your mind unless you implement it or go ahead with it. So you've got to change your routine and believe in it. And once, remember this, as someone said, I can understand. I think it was Mandela who said this. You know Mandela, Nelson Mandela. He said, I want you to know, I can understand when a child is afraid of the dark, but I cannot forgive a man who is afraid of the light. Right, okay. So you start off what you can do. Right. And it's going to be difficult. Amongst the first things I said to him that I would like to jog, I try to jog 5 kilometers a day after Fajr. I like to jog. Okay. And I don't make an excuse, well, I went to Sri Lanka, it was hot, I didn't jog. I want to jog. In fact, I might do it this afternoon, right, to jog, right? Now, yes, if you're jogging after a long time, your knees are going to pain, isn't it? Right? But you've got to persevere. After 6 weeks, it becomes an automatic part of your life. So you've got to focus on yourself and get guidance, get a mentor. Right? You organize yourself, believe in yourself, make it your priority. How do you purchase your books and your CDs? I only got one set here, right? One set here. But if you want to purchase these, come tomorrow for the workshop. Before it is too late. The time is now. Right. Okay. How do you deal with toxic people? If you live with them, you can't avoid them. Oh, let's make dua for you, right? Okay. Right. How to deal with toxic people? You know what? Remember these words. No one can diminish you without your permission. How small you feel depends on you. You do not get married to be happy. You are happy and you get married. You must not allow anyone to crawl underneath your skin. There are 3 ways of responding to people, as far as I'm concerned. 3 ways. 1, listen with your heart and benefit from their knowledge. If someone is critical of you, listen. Hey, he said, thank you, brother, sister. I was not aware of it. Thank you. The second person, who might be trivial, you say, thanks for sharing your information. The third person is you. When he speaks or he, allow it to go from here, one way out. What we tend to do, instead of us reversing our condition, we rehearse it. Played all the time in our mind. And you meet your friend. So what's wrong with you? He said, for 10 years, man. She told me, for 10 years, my wife. Come on, man. Have a balance. You understand what I'm saying to you? Right? Toxic people need help. Toxic people need help. Make dua for them. Now you've got to find out how come they are like that. How come? There is to know more about toxic people, how to deal with it, come tomorrow for the day night. No, I mean it. I mean it. I help you. There is a condition called post-traumatic stress. I deal with that. Really. I'll share with you some practical things. Come tomorrow. Amen. I love you all for sake of Allah. Do you love me for Allah's sake? Are you happy I came here today? I'm also happy. If you're not happy, it's okay. I'm excited. But when I go home, my wife will ask me, how was it? I said, you know, darling, I enjoyed it. What about them? I say, I'm not worried, but I enjoyed it. Make dua for her. She's my pillar of strength. I tell everyone, I don't mind the whole world stops talking to me, long as my wife, and I call her Shushu Babalina. Shushu. Long as she's happy. You understand? Alhamdulillah. When it comes to poor people from other religions, when they come asking for money, except is for the religious function and community work, do we give them money and help them? You see, you know what, let me tell you, it's a good question to ask, right? And I do not ever get into fiqh issues, as it were, right? I think you got to look at creative ways of supporting them in different things. Maybe they've got a project to, say, to have a drill, borehole, whatever. Look at in those ways, you understand? But I'm not too sure. You need to get the local scholars to give you their fatwa in terms of helping them when it comes to their religious festivals, you understand? Right? But you can help them in different ways. They've got an educational institution where you can buy books, and books and whatnot. So I would not. I'm a non-controversial person, and I'll stick to that. Right? Anything else? Anything else? Right. Okay. So just as a reminder to all of you, is that a Muslim is not stung by the same hole twice. You know that. No 2 days are the same. If you're going to go back today, no different from what you were yesterday, what's the need for tomorrow then? In fact, your highest moment of spirituality should be when Allah calls you to Him. You understand? So, I'm looking forward to your participation tomorrow. I mean this, right? You'll enjoy it. It's interactive, right? It has been, alhamdulillah, and I thank Allah for this. I've done this program in Brisbane, in Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, in Kuala Lumpur, in Canada. I've done this program. It's good, you know. I love to meet with scholars, right? Meet with them, you get enriched by them. Okay, right. So one more time. How many of you are coming in tomorrow, inshallah, for the program? Right. If you know, with hands no more down. Why they suddenly went down? Again, I'll just count this. Just put your hands up and see. Very disappointing. If you say you're not coming because you're getting married tomorrow, and you know, then too, I'll tell you, come with your husband, you can learn together. Okay, anyway, right, Jazakumullah, right? Allah bless you all. May you have a wonderful life, inshallah, right? And those that are interested in looking at the series, you can look at it in the book. And if you're not coming tomorrow, you can get one of your colleagues to purchase it for you, all right? Okay, JazakAllah. Okay, these are my dua for you, inshallah, is that each one of you has self-belief. We have got Islam on the platter. Islam on the platter. No matter what we go through, is nothing compared to what the Sahaba went through. Okay? The 40 days of siege that Osman went through is heart-wrenching. He never forsake Allah. He never forsake His love for the Quran. What I'm saying to you, we got it easy. Right? A Muslim never complains. So what I'm saying to you, right? Please, There is no such thing as tomorrow. For a believer, it's only now. Only now. Every opportunity for you to buy books, to listen to lectures, go for it. And the critical thing, your engagement must be, what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to change to become a better person? You understand? Right? And just give you this one incident, two incidents, two, right? Okay, one. The second incident, only sharing tomorrow. Right? This incident was, when I was at school, right? When I was at school, I was like, you know, like a clown, you know what I mean? Clown, but I was a shy clown, you know, shy clown, right? And those days, you know, our parents were different. My father told the teachers, the flesh is yours, the bones are mine. You know what I mean? So you could not complain to our parents. So anyway, so you won't believe this. I was an average student of English, average, right? One teacher inspired me. After his inspiration, 8 years after that, I became the chairman of the English Society of South Africa. I used to be afraid to speak in public. The biggest crowd I spoke to was 10,000 people in London. I only fear Allah. Why? Because I took ownership. Ownership. I'm saying this to you. Don't say I'm a female. Yeah, so what? Your status is higher than males in the eyes of Allah. Yes or no? Right? So I'm saying this to you. Right? There was a time when students of knowledge traveled thousands of miles looking for scholars. Now scholars are traveling thousands of miles looking for students. It's a sad indictment on our community and our society. A very sad indictment. If you're not prepared to make a sacrifice, you'll not gain anything. And I'll give you an example without it becoming too patronizing. I'll give you an example. People ask me, how do I manage with my travels? How do I manage? I do it. I don't like the traveling, to be honest with you. People have a romantic notion, the plane and all that. So the most constipated people are in the plane, you see them. Right? I hate the traveling, but it's a means Allah has given us. But I love the interaction. I do it. Because you don't know. You don't know whose life you might touch, whose life you might affect. So my question to you in the end, how many of you believe strongly that perhaps you need to do some things differently? Put your hands up. Right. Those who never had their hands up, I'm assuming either you were sleeping or you're paralyzed, so it's okay. You know what I mean? Not many, right? So may Allah bless you and protect you, right? Right. Right. So inshallah. Let me make a little dua, inshallah, right? إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد يا الله protect all the beloved daughters and brothers in Sri Lanka يا الله give them strength يا الله let them understand what the purpose is they are indeed ambassadors for the deen of Islam يا الله take us to you يا الله when we are strongest of faith يا الله the Muslims are suffering throughout the world يا الله Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a class. Give us sincerity of purpose, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Before this one, Arabic, Arabic, is the merciful. Osama, Osama, Allah, Okay. Who wants to like to look at the CDs and all that? You can come. Anyone wants to look at it? No one? Okay, no problem. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.